Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for another great trip report. Listener Philip is standing by right now to share his recent Walt Disney World vacation. But first, a quick word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at touringplans.com. You know these folks. They're the folks who keep you out of lines and seeing the most amount of attractions possible on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation. Let me tell you, these folks are going to be your best friends here moving forward in 2019 with the anticipated crowds for Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, both at Disneyland and here soon at Walt Disney World. They're going to give you the latest information to have the best shot at seeing not only those attractions, but how those crowds are going to affect the rest of the parks and the resort as a whole. So for the cost of a couple of Mickey bars, you're getting 365 days of great information that can make that vacation that much better. It's really an insurance policy against the crowd. So check them out today. They're over at touringplans.com. Shout out to you. Yes, you who uses our Amazon affiliate link over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. You can help support the show with each and every purchase on Amazon, whether it's we get our toilet paper from Amazon, so even that helps support the show to that great summer stuff, maybe some flip-flops, swim trunks, sunscreen, what have you. Anytime you make a purchase on Amazon, please click through our link and support the show. It's BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1496 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. As always, I hope that you had a wonderful weekend, good times with friends and family. Truly, this is the best time of the year. You got lots of graduation parties going on around the country. Of course, folks probably getting ready for big summer vacations, maybe down to Walt Disney World, out to Disneyland. Maybe you're going to see Galaxy's Edge. It's open now. And wherever it takes you, please take the Be Our Guest podcast with you on the road and be safe out there and have fun with your friends and family. We're going to keep you company here for the next 35 or so minutes with a great trip report. And we're headed down to one of the most beautiful states in the United States. Drove through there a couple times, heading to North Carolina. Philip's joining us today. Philip, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Glad to have you on the show. North Carolina, beautiful green state when I drove through. It was really nice there.
That's if you're not driving through the springtime and then it's yellow clouds of pollen everywhere.
Same here. I know as a runner, it's just like, you get out there, you run for a couple hours and you come home and you look like you're a bumblebee.
Exactly.
Nice. All right. So let's dive into your trip. We're going to talk about a trip from last fall because, I know it is, early to mid-June now. We're in the heart of summer, but folks are looking forward to fall activities. You know, down at Walt Disney World, you have the International Food and Wine Festival, Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party. You have different weather conditions that can sneak up on us. We're going to talk about today in the fall in Florida. So let's kind of jump back into when you went and kind of the circumstances around the trip. Then we'll talk about some of the details of the trip.
Oh, yeah, we took a trip last September. I believe we flew out on September 8th. We enjoyed a week vacation there. It's our third trip, and it was going to be our last trip before trying for our second child. So we decided, hey, we love going in September. The crowds are low, and there's a bunch of extras, like you said, food and wine, Mickey's Not So Scary, which we got to enjoy both of those during our trip down there. I can't say anything bad about going down there in September.
So how was the, we'll talk about that in a second. Before we get into the details of the trip, let me kind of get a little background for you because I like doing this. I've done this for about the last, 5 or 10 Monday podcasts where I like to get, why Disney for you? Why do you go to Walt Disney World? What is it about the Disney product that you're going there? You're not going to, a Cedar Point or, going to the beach somewhere, the mountains, what's your connection to Disney?
I would definitely say it's the Disney magic. Our first trip was in 2016. Wife had been bugging me for years to go, and I finally, said, hey, let's take it out there. Our little guy was under two at the time during our first trip, so he was free. That was a bonus. And I said, you know, I grew up in South Florida and had never really went to Disney when I was a kid. And I said, hey, let's go. And that first trip did everything for me. It made me enjoy Disney more, maybe seeing the glow of everything through my son's eyes. It made me jump from being an adult back into being a kid and not having no worries. Everybody talks about this Disney bubble, and it's 100% true. Whenever you go down to Disney, you don't have no worries outside of the world. And just going there and how well everybody takes care of you there. And I maybe have had one minor bad incident every trip we've gone, but I mean, it keeps me wanting to come back and go back and go back, just because the people there, the environment, the whole Disney bubble, I would say.
Yeah, it's very well, it's very well said, because for me, my first time there, it was just kind of otherworldly. You know, it was the great interactions with cast members. They all treated you like you were truly a guest. You know, they call you a guest, but they did. They gave hospitality that was above and beyond anywhere I'd ever been. You know, but the simple things, just like how the medians are so perfectly manicured in the roads, and the purple road signs instead of regular green road signs, and you know, just how everything is themed. You know, you could go to a hotel to have dinner and it was themed after the Caribbean, or you could go to another hotel and it was, you know, like you say, you know, the Keys of Florida. You know, it was so otherworldly that, you know, my first trip was, you know, probably about 20 years ago now. And as soon as I returned home, like, I couldn't get enough of it. This was pre-podcast, pre-basically, World Wide Web. There was some message boards, but pre-social media. So I went to the library and checked out as many books as I could find, travel guides, and just was just enthralled with the whole thing. So was it kind of like that for you? Like, you got back and you're like, man, I want to learn more about this place.
Exactly. The first time we went, and I was like, you know, blind and in the dark and didn't really know what we were getting ourselves into. My wife did a little research. I went to Barnes and Nobles and bought, you know, Disney World for Beginners book and learned up on things to try to ease into the first trip. And now that we've gone multiple times, we... friends that we know, they contact us now on best ways to go to Disney, what to enjoy, where to eat, and you know, we've become the go-to people for Disney World planning with some of our friends.
I love that. That's how it always is. You know, you're like the Disney guy or the Disney family. You know, hey, you know, like we're at church. You know, and we have like a section where, you know, the pastor gets up and does his like introduction. Then everybody goes around and shakes hands with everybody for like 5 minutes. You welcome the visitors. Inevitably, we're talking Disney, everybody. And I know the preacher's wife listens to the show, so she knows, because I talk to her at Disney. But it's always like, hey, did you see this? Or we're going to think about going there. And it's like, okay, we got to hurry up. We only get like 5 minutes to meet and greet.
Right, exactly. And that's how it is. And when you explain to people that are unsure about going to Disney, and you explain that, hey, I'm a 30-year-old man and I had more fun than anybody else I know, they kind of get intrigued by that, and then they ask more info and more info. Hey, how can you help me plan my trip? And it's like, all right, okay.
That's a good connect. You know, when you don't have a trip coming up, it's kind of fun. It gives you a little piece of the action. You know, it's like, it's fun to look at things. You know, I catch myself watching YouTube videos and reading stuff, and I'm not going there. It's just, I need that
exactly.
Fix.
You listen to the podcast. I watch, I can't tell you how many vlogs on Disney, and you start looking for these people, and while you're there, that you're used to seeing on TV, and it kind of gets you prepped even when you're not planning for a trip.
Absolutely. I'm right with you. We're brothers here. All right, so let's hop into the trip, because you stayed some awesome places and did some really cool stuff. So travel from North Carolina. You guys said you flew down. Is that pretty easy to get from North Carolina? And I'd imagine down to Central Florida, not a big deal?
Not a big deal at all. It's about an hour and 20-minute flight. We usually leave early, and we get there early before there's a lot of crowds building up in the airports. So our travel there, when you fly, is easy. Driving from my house to the main gates is only about 9.5 hour drive.
Nice. Not bad at all. All right. So tell us where you stayed on this trip, because you stayed at two resorts. You booked two resorts initially, but then you had a third resort because of some crazy circumstances that I'm sure a lot of our listeners today were involved in as well. So tell us about the plan before, like, you wanted to stay. You had the split stay going on kind of at first, but walk us through that.
Yeah. So when we originally made the plans, we booked five nights at Polynesian in one of the suites, and looking for plane tickets and whatnot, we found better rates flying a day before. So we were looking around at, okay, you know, maybe we'll just stay at a value and whatnot. And then my wife's cousin got in touch with us and said, hey, we're not going to be able to make it down to Disney this year. Do you guys want to buy some DVC points for us? That was a no-brainer. And we were like, hey, we're already staying at the Poly. We were kind of interested at staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge. So we took that one night and got a one-room Savannah View suite at Kidani Village.
Wow, man. Those are two great places to stay. This is setting up to be a great trip. So let's talk about arrival. You have that first night at Kidani Village. Of course, you know, you're not, when you're there for one night, you don't really feel like you're, you know, settled, you're involved in the resort. But what'd you think of that stay?
It was great. You know, leading up to the trip about 2 weeks prior, I ended up finding out I had a bad infection in my foot and ended up a week and a half prior to flying out, had to get surgery and was in the hospital for 5 days, which led to everybody, all my nurses, all my doctors knowing, hey, I need my foot to be okay because I'm going to Disney World in a week and a half. And no matter what you guys say, I am going. So day before we fly out, I get the okay for the doctor. Good to go. Just, you know, keep up with my wound. Don't stand on your foot too much, which led to me getting and setting up a scooter rental. Ended up using a company called, I can't think of it off the top of my head. It will come to me, but they were great. They met me at Kidani with the scooter as I got off the Magical Express, sent me on my way. And because we got to there pretty early, we got there about 11:30. Fortunately enough, they had our room ready when we got there at 11:30. So we got in and went straight up to our room, and what's the first thing anybody's going to do in Savannah View room is straight to the back deck and just watch the animals.
Yeah, I mean, that's why you're there. I mean, they're right there. Because I've never stayed in Kidani. I've stayed over at Jumbo House and just the, you know, your typical room that has a Savannah View. But man, that, because we stayed there for about 4 or 5 nights and we did a split, but we had like 4 nights there. And I just remember every morning I woke up, that, you know, at Walt Disney World, you're always so tempted to get up. Let's get going. We got to hit rope drop. We got to do this. You know, we got to be at the studios. We got to be at Epcot. We got to, you know, be on Soarin' by 9:15, what have you. But when you're at Animal Kingdom Lodge, you got to kind of throw all that out, because there's something to be said for waking up and having coffee and watching a giraffe stroll by. It's amazing.
Exactly. And, you know, getting there at 11 on the day that we flew in, just being able to not have any plans per se that day and to be able to enjoy the animals and just be able to walk around the resort. And, you know, we went over the Jumbo to eat, cause I have picky eaters for wife and son. So nobody was willing to try anything out of the ordinary. So we had to go to the food court over at Jumbo and eat over there. But we got to, you know, travel around both the resorts and, you know, see what they are, and they're awesome. If you're not a picky eater, they are definitely awesome resorts. They're super quiet, and being away from everything kind of puts you more, like I said, in that Disney bubble, especially when you get a Savannah room where, like you said, you could take your coffee out in the morning and, hey, there's a giraffe, and hey, what is that? I don't even know what that
exactly
is.
Exactly, that's cool.
What kind of animal that is?
That's it. At least they give you a check-in. They'll give you like a animal guide, like a viewing guide, so you can see, hey, that crazy looking thing. Oh, that's I don't even know what that is, but there it is on the chart.
That's it. Yep. Never it's seen just like if when you take the safari at Animal Kingdom, you're like, what is that? It kind of looks like an antelope note, but totally something different.
Exactly. I always say, that's something I don't want to see on one of my runs because I think it would run me down pretty
exactly.
quickly. I'm not very fast. Yeah. So no, that's a lot of fun. So let me ask you this, cause we're kind of jumping ahead cause we have limited time here and I want to make sure we get on all the good stuff, but being in the scooter, you'd obviously been there, walked around, done all the miles on previous trips. And all of a sudden you're faced with the situation with the wound on your foot. You had surgery. You had to use a scooter. I've always wondered, like, what do you learn when you're somebody who is thrust into that situation? It could be frustrating. I think now you have a different perspective on people that are faced with, you know, the daunting challenge of getting around Walt Disney World on a scooter.
Absolutely. I know going forward, you know, to kind of keep an eye out for these people that, you know, have to have mobility scooters to get around the park. I would say, you know, trip-wise, it really wasn't too much of a burden. A lot of the cast members are very accommodating. Getting on monorail was easy. Getting on the buses were easy. Getting through lines, as long as you can maneuver it pretty well, there really wasn't any issues. Just watch out for people, because that's the biggest concern, is you don't want to run anybody over. I would say the biggest struggle with it would be enjoying some of the shops. Being able to maneuver through the shops was a little tedious, and a lot of times I would get frustrated in the shops and just tell the wife that, hey, I'm going to go wait outside, you know, while you guys shop around. But getting around and access to the rides and everything like that, like, I don't think there's another park in the world that gives you more freedom than Walt Disney World, with the cast members, the accessibility to things and whatnot. And that, I know now to look out for folks that have to use a mobility scooter. You know, you get a different perspective with it like that, but it's not something, you know, that you have to worry about, you know, going to Disney World. If you have to worry about, am I going to be able to get on this? Am I going to be able to get on that? And Disney makes it very accommodating, and I got on everything that I wanted to.
That's good to hear. Now, did you master the 3-point churn there? Because that's always the challenge I see folks doing. It's the 3-pointer. You know,
I did.
I'm always like, go back to driver's head, 3-pointer, just back it up, and you're out of here.
Leading up to the trip, I was thinking, hey, man, I wanted to get a 3-wheel to make it maneuver a little bit more. But so I started looking at a 4-wheel scooter to rent, and they had these little fenders that go over the tire. So I was able to rest my bad foot. And even with a 4-wheel scooter, it was easy to maneuver around the parks and rides.
Good deal. All right, let's hop into when you guys move over to the Polynesian. I mean, I think this is, yeah, deep down, I think everybody wants to or has stayed at the Polynesian. I have only, visited many, many times, never stayed there. One of the few resorts that I don't have firsthand experience with. So you get over there, in the shadow of the Magic Kingdom. What'd you think?
It's everything that you can really think of. You're in this epicenter of Disney at that point, I would say. Our first trip there, we went and ate at Ohana's, and I said, I want to stay at this resort at some point. And the second trip, we went there and watched fireworks from the beach, and I said to my wife, I said, next trip, we are staying at Polynesian. And, you know, you get off the monorail and you walk in and, you know, they give you Lays and it feels like you're going into a resort right in Hawaii. And you get the beautiful Hawaiian scent and you just get immersed in it. And it's everything I was expecting, I would say. The bad part was we technically got the last room at the end of the resort. But the plus side to that, it was closer to the ticket center, so we were able to sneak right out back and hop right on the monorail to go anywhere.
Yeah, it's always, you know, when you get that room assignment, it's always, it could be either way. It could be a positive or a negative. I'm glad you saw that there was a good side. And a lot of people do actually I've had guests that request to be, you know, very close to the TTC, because then you can walk right onto the monorail to go to Epcot, as well as, you know, and get on the monorail to the Magic Kingdom. So I've heard folks like that, but of course, I think everybody wants, you know, a nice lagoon view or the castle view or something. You know, that's right. What I would want. But I mean, you know, it is what it is, and you're still there, and it sounds like it was a great trip. So did being at the Polynesian kind of drive that you were kind of an Epcot Magic Kingdom focused trip, or did you kind of balance the parks?
Well, leading up to the trip, we had decided we were going to take more of a relaxed trip this time. So we ended up staying there for a week, but we only did three park days. We did Epcot our first day, and that first day, my foot started bothering me, and it was pretty much just ticking down to when we got the text message or when we could check in at the Polynesian. And about halfway through the day, we hopped on the monorail, and we said, let's just go to the Polynesian, and maybe we'll just have, you know, a quick bite to eat, maybe go get a drink at Trader Sam's. And we walk in and we get the text message that our room is ready, so we head on in, and it's just easy to get to a lot of the main attractions. Like one night we ate at Grand Floridian, took the monorail over there. Another night we decided, hey, we wanted to go eat at Whispering Canyon, so we took the monorail over to the Magic Kingdom, and then a boat ride over to Wilderness Lodge, and enjoyed dinner, and took a bus back to Magic Kingdom, and took a boat back over to Polynesian. So I like that resort because you have multiple ways of maneuvering around. You could take a boat, you could take a monorail, or you could take the bus.
Yeah, they're all a lot of fun, too. That's what I like about that kind of monorail loop. You know, you not only have the buses, the monorails, but you also have boats, which are a lot of fun. And, of course, you have buses as well. Now, let me ask you about this. So it really sounds like, you know, if you're ever going to be at a deluxe resort, you know, or someplace you've really wanted to stay, not that your foot surgery or your injury was a blessing, but it kind of did force you in a way to slow down and take in the resort. Because I think that a lot of folks, you know, 9 months out, 6 months out, they'll book a deluxe resort, their dream resort, you know, and they're excited that, oh, it's got this pool and it's got these restaurants I've always wanted to go to. It's got a solarium. It's got, you know, this and that. And then the temptation is when you arrive, you just, you know, you're just drawn to the theme parks. And then all of a sudden the trip's over. You didn't spend any time in the pool. You didn't get to go to the solarium. And what was the point of staying at a deluxe resort? So it sounds like, you know, this kind of gave you the opportunity to really take it all in and enjoy where you were at.
It did. And, you know, like I mentioned, we kind of wanted to make this more of a resort focused trip. Because I think when you plan to go to the parks every day and you're park hopping, and you do kind of oversee, and if you're going to spend that type of money to stay at deluxe, even some of the moderates, if you're going to be go, I would say just stay at a budget, or stay, you know, at a value resort. But if you're going to spend the money and enjoy deluxe, do yourself a favor and enjoy the resort as much as you can, as the parks, because it is a trip in itself just being at some of the resorts. The bad side is I couldn't swim, so I didn't get to enjoy the pools. But my little guy, who was 4 at the time we traveled, he loved the pool at Polynesian. They have a great splash pool area for kids at that one. And as the family's enjoying the pool, Dad enjoyed a drink or two from Trader Sam's, and just sat in, you know, the grand ceremonial, you know, building, and stared at Maui and just looked around, and just sitting there and the smells, the scents, and everything. It's just, you take it all in, and, you know, like you said, the injury was kind of a blessing in disguise, because I did get to soak in a lot of things that maybe would have flew right past me had I been on 2 feet running around.
Yeah, the Polynesian pool is really nice. We spent some time there last summer because the Foresters were staying there, and we just all met up, and, you know, we got some Amazon Prime Now'd some snacks and brought them down, and we played Yahtzee around a couple of tables by the pool, and just really, we had the best time. You know, it was one of those things like you just on vacation, there's such a temptation to just go, go, go. And, you know, we went to the parks that trip. But looking back now that it's been a year, the things I remember was the jokes we told and the fun we had. Because when do we get to play Yahtzee with our friends from Pennsylvania? You know, we get to swim a lot and we get to go to the parks a lot. But it was very different. But it was most enjoyable for everybody involved, I think. We really enjoy that. And it really lends itself at the Polynesian with that pool area. Even if you're not swimming, you know, you got the bar there. You have a lot going on. You have the Dole Whip stand. You can go get yourself a Dole Whip. I mean, it's you're living life large when you're at the Poly.
Exactly. And the restaurants just at Polynesian. I mean, we've ate everywhere there. We had breakfast one day at Ohana, and we had dinner at Ohana. We also had breakfast at Kona one day. This is the first time that during this trip we decided, hey, let's try out the dining plan, and it was well worth it on this trip. With being able to sit around and, you know, enjoy the resort, I feel it was money well spent this time.
All right, so let's jump into real quick, you know, times in the parks. Like, do you remember any special things that happened in the theme parks? You guys weren't in there a whole lot, but I mean, you know, during the fall, anything special happened there?
Yeah, you know, the Toy Story Land had just opened, and that was one of our main things that we had to go to. And we were kind of worried about if our son was going to be a little bit more brave than he was last time. The trip prior, we took him on I can't think of Goofy's roller coaster.
Oh, the Barnstormer, yeah.
Yeah, and that was his first roller coaster, and he was terrified. He said, I don't want to go on that ride ever again. Well, this time, we took him, and he stood in line with us for the hour to get on Slinky Dog, and we get off the ride, and he loved it.
Yes.
So it was like a night and day difference. He rode Slinky Dog. We went to Magic Kingdom. He rode Splash Mountain. It was like he was a totally different kid, but if you asked him anything, if he wanted to ride Barnstormer, it was still no.
I don't either. You know what? Because I'm scared I'm going to get stuck on that thing. I don't fit.
Another thing while we were there, you know, I said that we did three park days, but we also did Mickey's Not So Scary while we were there. So that's a park trip in itself there. And that was a blast, being able to trick-or-treat around the park. The crowds are a little less. You can hop on rides. I got on Big Thunder, the only person on Big Thunder.
Holy cow.
I have a picture. I have a selfie with me on the front of Big Thunder with nobody else on the roller coaster at 11 o'clock at night, and it was amazing.
Holy cow. It's like your own personal Disney limousine.
Yeah, absolutely. It's my favorite roller coaster in the parks, and to be able to just be on it by yourself and scream and nobody's there to make fun of you, it was amazing.
Well, so speaking of the Halloween party, because obviously tickets are on sale right now for the 2019 parties, and I can help you with that if you need them at the Magic for Less, just let me know. But you took a little guy to the party. So, you know, the party runs late. It's not so scary, but I mean, a lot of little kids can, you know, kind of maybe be a little uneasy about the whole event. So what advice would you give somebody that's taken little ones to Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party here in 2019?
I would definitely recommend taking a nap before.
Yes.
We did it on an off day, so we got him down for a nap beforehand, and then we got up and he ate dinner real quick and we headed to the parks. I would say don't pressure them into anything that they don't want to. He loved the parade. He was talking about the Headless Horseman as we watched videos before leading up to it, and when he got to see the Headless Horseman, he thought it was the coolest thing ever. And he enjoyed it. He didn't make it as late as mom and dad were able to make it, but he made it through. Crowds are, like you said, you know, a little less, so you can go meet a lot more of the characters during that portion. The interactiveness when you get on pirates is awesome, having pirates in the queue talking to you and then having live pirates during the ride. it changes the whole feel of the ride. And, you know, of course, you have to ride Haunted Mansion while you're there, which is my favorite slow ride at Disney. And, you know, they do a couple little different things during the event as well.
Yeah, I gotta get there this year because they have the new fireworks show, and it's been a few years, and that party's just, I mean, I know it's super expensive, but it is so fun. It's one of the things it kills me to spend that much on a ticket, but like when I leave, I'm like, man, I'm glad I did that.
And it, you know, honestly, I felt the same. I was like, oh man, $74 just to go for 6 hours. What am I thinking? And then you walk out with 17 pounds of candy and you make your money back.
That's right. You go out on iDrive and like, hey man, candy bars, 2 for $1.
Exactly. And don't need a fast pass for anything. You just go right on. And, you know, luckily, we went in September, so the crowds were lower there. I don't know how it is, you know, getting closer in October, but it was awesome. It was money well spent.
All right, so we gotta bring up, you know, kind of the unexpected visitor for this trip, because we have a few minutes left, and I want to kind of tell the story because it's interesting now, and it's a slight cautionary tale for folks that travel during the fall down to Florida. That you guys had some weather start to affect, and it actually wasn't weather in Central Florida. It was kind of weather back home, right?
Yeah. This was the first trip down to Florida where we barely had any rain in Florida. Our first trip, we actually got hit by a hurricane in Florida. But days leading up to our trip, there was ramblings of a hurricane starting in the Atlantic, and it formed, and that became Hurricane Florence. And Hurricane Florence came right into Raleigh on the day that we were supposed to fly back. So the Friday that we were supposed to fly back, Delta started sending text messages that your flight might be affected. And I called Delta and they're like, we are accommodating. If you guys want to change your flight back, we'll do it free of charge. So we said, hey, what's 2 extra days? Pulled out the old trusty credit card and called Disney Resort accommodations and said, hey, I'm stuck here for 2 more days. What can you get me? And we have been to Art Animation every time we've gone. First time we stayed in Nemo Suite, second time we stayed in Cars Suite, and our last day on the second trip ended up, it was another kind of, hey, let's stay an extra day. We did Little Mermaid, but this time we said, hey, let's try the Lion King room. Because with this trip too, my mom was with us, and she was a little cooped up with all of us in one room at Polly. So she said, hey, if we're going to stay here an extra 2 days, I want my own space. here's some extra money to get a bigger room. So we love Art Animation. We think it's probably the best resort there if you have kids, because it's so over the top themed. Nothing beats the big blue pool. And we called up, added the extra 2 days on, and transferred over there the next morning.
That's awesome. I do like Art of Animation. It's only getting better now with Pop Century. You know, they have the Skyliner right there in Hourglass Lake, man, right there at the studios, or, you know, heading over to Epcot. It's going to be amazing. Can't wait till that opens up. Man, I'm crossing my fingers. It's got to be any day. It's got to be any day.
I'm hoping that our next trip, which I have ramblings of, hey, I've got an extended 4th of July weekend. What can I fit in to go down there this year?
Hey, we're having a podcast meetup 4th of July at Epcot. You need to be there.
See, now you're really tempting me.
you're really
tempting me. The wife's kind of on the fritz about it, and I was like, maybe we can squeeze it in, because she ended up getting pregnant when we got back, and we said, we probably aren't going to be able to get a trip before the baby comes. And then I look at my schedule and I say, hey, I've got an extended 4th of July weekend. Oh, you've got an extended 4th of July weekend. What's available?
All right, well, I'll see you at Japan before the fireworks for the 4th of July. So there we go. We're going to be at Epcot. All right, so there we go. We've set it up, so now you got to go. Let me ask you one more thing before we get out of here. So we're running a little bit long, but when you have those extra days because of the weather, you know, all of a sudden you're there, and of course you guys weren't going really hard because of your foot and, you know, other things. You're just kind of chilling out on this trip, but when you kind of get that, like you're playing with house money when you get bonus days because you're, you know, you're air quotes stuck at Walt Disney World because of weather to get home. How do you like, how did you take advantage of that?
We spent one of the days we went to Disney Springs, and enjoyed Disney Springs. The company just popped back in my head. It was Gold Mobility Scooters and they were awesome. I called them and said, hey, I'm stuck here for, you know, two extra days because of the hurricane. And I said, you know, can I extend my scooter rental and how much? They said, don't worry about it. Let us know when you need it picked up and we'll be there to pick it up for you. So they were very accommodating on that. And we kind of did non-park things. We went to Disney Springs. We ate at Guy Fieri's Chicken Guy.
Oh, I love that place.
it's amazing. and we did a little shopping around. My little guy leading up to the trip had been saving up some money. So beforehand, we took his money and we bought some Disney gift cards and kind of taught him the fundamentals of spending his money wisely. And you know, for a 4-year-old with $50 on the Disney gift card, he wants to buy everything and he thinks he can afford everything. So on that extra day we said, hey, let's go enjoy the springs for a day and, you know, go get lunch and go shopping. And because we weren't so rushed, we were able to go to spots, Disney Springs, that we haven't gone walked through before.
Yeah, it's kind of nice when you have that opportunity. You just got to see it as like it's a huge opportunity to try something different because, like you said, it's like house money. You know, you weren't planning on being there, but you're there and make the best of it.
Yeah, you got to make the best of it. And, you know, that credit card bill will come around eventually, but it's sight unseen at the point of enjoying it.
Yeah, it's amazing how those magic bands work. It's like, okay, boop. Yeah. No problem.
Oh, yeah. When I told my mom, hey, you can attach your credit card to your magic band, her eyes lit up and it was like, swipe, 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 swipe. Oh, you guys want to get that swipe? And so,
yeah.
I don't think, you know, you don't get that bill until you check out.
Yeah.
So she was just swiping her magic band as much as she wanted to.
Yeah,
and,
trust.
Hey.
When you have two girls and one of them is in college, well, now she's graduated, and the other one is 11, you know, and the card is on, you know, the magic bands are all tied to dad's card. It's amazing how many snacks and things they buy. It's crazy. It's like, oh, well, shoot, it's free then. No, not really, but.
Yeah.
It's scary.
Yeah, it's a blessing and a nightmare all
yes,
at once.
It's more of a nightmare. Every time I see that Mickey turn green, I'm like, oh, good God. Stop it. Cut him off. Anyway, well, Philip, we got to run because we got to get out of here. But I appreciate you coming on the show. It's been a lot of fun today. Great way to start the week. And congratulations on the new one, you know, the new kid. And, man, it sounds like you guys are going to have great vacations for years to come.
Oh, absolutely. We'll see. People always ask us, how do you do it every year? And I say, just go once. That's all I tell them. I said, just go once and you'll understand why we go every year.
All right. Well, hey, don't forget, tell your wife. We'll see you 4th of July, Japan, Epcot for the fireworks.
All right. I'll try to push that one over on her.
All right. We'll see you too. Everybody's listening. We're going to have a meetup at the 4th of July, Epcot, Japan area. Look for us. We're going to all watch fireworks together. So anyway, we're going to get out of here. Thank you so much for joining us today. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at touringplans.com. As I said at the top of the show, don't forget, you know, with Galaxy's Edge now open at Disneyland, opening soon at Disney's Hollywood Studios, these guys are going to be your best friends because crowd patterns are going to shift, especially at the studios later this fall. Out at Disneyland, for sure, the crowd patterns have already shifted, and they're on it. They're running algorithms. They're going to put you in a great spot to see what you want to see on your vacation, whether it's in Galaxy's Edge or not. They're going to tell you where the crowds are anticipated to be, steer you around those crowds, and help you have an amazing vacation. So check out all the great offerings over at touringplans.com. And if you don't mind, anytime you do that shopping here this summer, please use our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all of your Prime benefits, cost you nothing extra at all, and it really does help support the show. Even small purchases, please do help support the show. So again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow here on the social media because I'm headed to Walt Disney World here in about 2 weeks, and it's going to be fun for the cruise, and we're doing three different resorts while we're there. I'm at Be Our Guest Mike on Instagram and Twitter. Of course, follow Be Our Guest Pod as well. And drop by the Facebook group, over 8,400 Disney fans talking Disney every day. It's facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to get out of here and let you get on with your Monday. Have a great one. Before we get out of here today, almost forgot, Philip. Almost had to get you, but I got to remind my wife. Today's our anniversary. It's our 13th wedding anniversary. I know. There you go. Almost got to the end here and forgot. So happy anniversary to my Disney princess, Pam. We're 13 years going strong, and she puts up with me and all this podcast stuff, which I think she likes it because this means I go to the basement and talk into a microphone to what appears to be nobody to her, so she doesn't hear anything. So that's how it is. So happy anniversary to my wife, Pam. All right, we're going to get out of here. We'll be back again on Wednesday with more of your listener questions. So for Philip, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.